Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. The Reverend Dr. Stephen Hokana is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The scripture appointed for this day is from the 6th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, beginning at the first verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." This is a reading appointed for this day. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for today's meditation is recorded in Isaiah chapter 6, and this is one of the most amazing passages in Scripture. To say this text is significant would be an understatement. Isaiah 6 has stood the test of time as a passage that demonstrates the power of God, his willingness to forgive, the Trinity in majesty, a loving eternal one God of all creation taking away our guilt. So powerful is this text that Luther wrote Isaiah 6 into that wonderful hymn that we just sang. In this text, we read about the death of a temporal king, and then we're transfixed by way of a vision of the incomprehensible King of glory and giver of life. From angelic beings calling out in a Trinity chorus, "Holy, holy, holy," while flying in majestic beauty, to a frail prophet overwhelmed by the perception of God and the glory of his mighty garment. A mission requiring patronage of the holiness of the Trinity. I talk to a lot of people. I enjoy listening to their stories to get life's perspective from different points of view. During the last couple of days, I've been speaking to childhood friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, and loved ones. Two of my conversations were with pilots. Their identity was wrapped up into flying in the air. One was a pilot from many years of flying cargo aircraft across our country. The other flew for a time during the Korean War. Different eras, different technology, different mission. But both spoke of the joy that flying brought them, as if with one voice they spoke about flying above the clouds. They describe what it's like to soar with angels. It reminds me of the earlier days of aviation when flying was very dangerous. I'm told there are times where in bad weather when you cannot tell up from down. Sometimes that's called spatial orientation, and it is so deadly, and it occurs sometimes today. You feel you have to pull up, when in fact you took a nosedive and plowed into the ground. Another problem in early aviation is when flying in areas where the compass just simply won't work. There are areas near the Hudson Bay or off Australia, to name a few, where a compass is simply not accurate, and you could get lost, panic, run out of fuel, and before you know it, becomes disoriented and crash. It is my understanding that in the early days of flying, if one became lost in the clouds, if you lost true north, if you didn't know where you're going, these aviators of old would gun their engine and break through the clouds. Once you find the sun, you are safe. You can orient and go back below the clouds. You see, pilots, despite their incredible grit or tenacity, could not stay above the clouds for too long. The engines of the era were not capable of sustaining their airplanes so high. As you read the words of Isaiah this morning, through the eyes of faith, they should lift you up above the clouds of what's going on in the world today. It should add an additional skip in your step. You should delight in the words of our God this morning. The text makes us think of things eternal, hopeful, and wonderful. This picture of the heavenly temple is assisted to us and given to us and helped along by contrasts. We hear of a king that dies, Uzziah, served for around 50 years, a long time for a king, but he died nonetheless. But stand this in awe alongside of Isaiah as he takes in the eternal God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He sees the eternality of our Creator, the Redeemer of humanity. We see the King of Kings alongside the dead king. We see the Lord of Hosts so omnipotent, so everlasting, that it makes Isaiah marvel at the hem of his garment that fills the whole earth, surely symbolic of his power and might. By contrast, we hear Isaiah cry out, "Woe is me," in clear acknowledgement of his sinful, finite, temporary, and sin-filled humanity. And I know it's tough that you hear the words of Isaiah. Perhaps there might be a temptation, something welling up in your stomach, a ring of jealousy. Being in the great heavenly temple, standing in the presence of the seraphim and cherubim, angels with duties described that we are simply in an awe, hearing them sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Sabaoth, the Lord God of the angelic armies." How wonderful to be invited to watch this wonderful event occurring in history and seeing the wonder and beauty of our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. With great compassion, I want to be clear about this. This is an event where we feel unworthy. Perhaps we may feel as Isaiah, who said, "For I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and that dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of Hosts." Lost, a frail human being. But the Lord Jesus uses the humble for his good purpose. Paul writes, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Our weakness seems to be on display. Failed humanity has had a real banner month. Riots, COVID, discord. At its root is our sinful nature, our hateful nature of fellow humans, our rebellious heart. We know we deserve nothing but death, eternal and forever. To drive the point home, on a deeply personal level, you hunger for the desire to enter the sanctuary of God and worship in his presence. Some places are opening up, others are not. You have a longing to see fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, a longing to sing hymns together, a longing to participate in the sacrament of the altar, and certainly witness a baptism where you are reminded again of being called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. As we come together, we do so in humility and great joy. We sing together the song of the seraphim, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of Hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." We are asked by the Holy Spirit to look farther into the text this morning. Put aside the short-term fatigue of the lockdown and see the eternality of the triune God and his unlimited glory. Look beyond the tiredness of fallen humanity and see the truth of our triune God as in the presence of his purity, divinity, and splendor. How he forgives and acknowledges the sin of Isaiah and gives him a mission. Dive deeper into the meaning of Isaiah 6. The two major points of Isaiah 6 are, first, no matter how tragic sorrow overwhelms and destroys you, me, or all mankind, whether individually or collectively, let all behold the Lord upon the eternal throne. As we look up with fear, awe, and great joy, we see the eternal God as the only source of our hope and redemption. The second major point of this amazing Isaiah event unfolding in front of our eyes is the unfolding of salvation. And let me be clear, the forgiveness of Isaiah's sin here was not final and absolute. We know the ultimate price of all human redemption from sin had not yet taken place. It had not been this blood-stained cost of Jesus Christ himself. The meaning is simply that God passed over his sins, as explained in by the apostle in Romans 3, where we read, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. This forgiveness was not accomplished by any physical effect of fire to cleanse from sin. Rather, it is accomplished in relation to that altar sacrifice. The act of the Messiah voluntarily giving up his life in his death was to be the antitype. The symbolic forgiveness achieved here by means of the live coal from off the altar actually establishes sin that can be undeniably purged, but not the highest angel. Even one who stands before God himself could alone procure such a forgiveness. The live coal from off the altar is a symbol of that greater and all-sufficient sacrifice in Christ that the ancient altar typified. Our sinful condition locks us into eternal condemnation. Nothing frees us and lifts us up than the redemption brought by our Lord Jesus Christ. Unlike the pilots of the early days of aviation, it isn't an old engine that moves us, grit or tenacity, but the Holy Spirit. It is not a temporary lifting for orientation, but a reminder that heaven is our true home. This is about transformation. The confinement and restrictions of life placed by living in joy, peace, contentment with our Lord and Savior. This is such good news. It makes our current circumstances pale compared to the scene played out in front of Isaiah. This event reminds us that God's plan of salvation is a well-laid design, perfect and wonderful by the sending of his Son, our Savior, to suffer, die, and rise again. During this time of fatigue and confusion, we look to the promises of our loving God as we navigate through the challenges of life. We do so as redeemed children of God, born anew, and by the Holy Spirit, belonging to him forever. And we ask this in his holy and precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Michael Kearney, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.